This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on October 30th, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda involves a draft notice of proposed rulemaking on reporting contributions bundled by lobbyist registrants and lobbyist registrants PAC. We have Cheryl Hemsley and Amy Rothstein from the General Counsel's office. Counsel? Oops, Ms. Rothstein here? Maybe somewhere. Counsel, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The draft notice of proposed rulemaking and agenda document 07-71 would implement Section 204 of the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act of 2007. The proposed rules would require authorized committees, leadership PACs, and political party committees to disclose certain information about lobbyists and registrants and political committees established or controlled by lobbyists and registrants that provide bundled contributions aggregating in excess of a certain amount during a covered period of time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You'd be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you. I wanted to start just by highlighting a point, which is that this is now the fourth major rulemaking we're undertaking at the close of the year. And three of those four are really the product of changes in the law that came outside of this building. The first involved the Supreme Court's decision in June in Wisconsin Right to Life, in which the court indicated that there must be an exception to the prohibitions in BCRA on electioneering communications paid for by labor organizations and corporations. And 60 days, roughly, slightly more than 60 days after the Supreme Court issued its decision in that case, this agency issued a notice of proposed rulemaking to implement changes in our regulations in light of the Supreme Court's decision. About 6 weeks after the NPRM went out, we had collected comments and held 2 days of hearings in which we had 15 witnesses come and testify before us, and we are now in the process of trying to sort through what the text of a final rule would look like. In July, Congress passed the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act. It made two important changes to our statute. The first involved the travel by members of Congress and candidates on non-commercial aircraft. And the second involved the issue that we have before us today on bundling. We had an NPRM out on the travel regs within 5 weeks of the President signing that into law. Comments are now in the process of being drafted by those outside. They're due a little later in, I guess, mid-November, and we've scheduled hearings on that for November 15th. And today, about 6 weeks after this law came into effect, we're putting out the notice of proposed rulemaking on the second of the two provisions of the statute that that Congress changed. This is all happening in addition to just an enormous amount of other work. We've had six major policy statements this year, including ones on sua sponte, probable cause hearings, and embezzlement. We've issued a significant addition to the explanation and justification on political committee status, and we've defended that successfully in court. And needless to say that this much work is the product of a lot of hard work on the part of our staff, and we appreciate that. But I also wanted to take a moment and acknowledge and thank the assistance of my colleagues here at this table. As I was looking through this document this morning, I saw the hand of everybody who's sitting up here in making changes and amendments and improvements to this document. And my prediction is that we will end up voting this out by a vote of 5-0. And that's not because we all agree on what the statute says, but it is a product, I think, of two things. One is that we do all agree that it's enormously important for this agency to respond in a timely fashion to changes in the law, and to do so with as much clarity as possible so that those people who are political actors who are going to be spending money have as clear an idea of where this agency thinks the lines are, what activity is prohibited and what is permitted, so that those people who want to comply with the law can. And I think that there is a uniformity of view up here that we need to move quickly at times to provide that kind of guidance. And the second thing I think it's a product of is a willingness to compromise. And to, you know, we certainly have disputes up here, but as we sort through those disputes, I think it is collectively with a sense that at the end of the day, to the degree that we can, we should try and find consensus and, if possible, unanimity on how this agency is going to pursue the enforcement of these laws. And I want to just take a moment before we go on to the substance of all of this to thank my colleagues. It involves a lot of hard work. It involves a lot more effort than if we simply sat in our offices and proclaimed our views and came in here and voted it and see how the chips fell. But I think the end product is a vast improvement. And our ability to get work done, our ability to try and take on this amount of work to try and move these amounts of decisions out of this agency's doors by the close of the year, and to, as a consequence, provide the regulated community with the kind of guidance that I think is enormously helpful, is a product of a lot of hard work by my colleagues, and I really wanted to just take a moment and express my appreciation to them for that. Other comments? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say I agree with those remarks, and I'd also like to say to our staff, particularly in OGC and elsewhere, in the midst of, actually I totaled it up, those three rulemakings which we got done in within 2 months, 2 month period, were 157 pages of proposed rulemaking, which is a lot of work. And in the middle of all that, we just got our third quarter results, and we've collected $3.7 million in civil penalties this year, which is the second largest total in the first 9 months of a year in the 32-year history of the agency. Now, that comes on top of last year where we collected $6.2 million in civil penalties, which was the largest total also, again, in the entire history of the agency. And, you know, last year we closed 315 matters. I understand through today we've now closed 446 matters this year. We're down to 85% of our cases being closed within a 15-month period, and all that being done while we've been in the midst of this rulemaking, and that's because we've got a good staff that have made a lot of improvements in the way things are done, and I wanted to thank them publicly for that.
Thank you. Other comments? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I agree with everything that's been said so far. It's we noted last week when we passed the when we changed the pilot program for probable cause hearings to a permanent program, the enormous strides that we've made in enforcement and in how much more efficient the agency has become on that front. And the policy people also need deserve a big shout out, because since 2002, when BCRA passed, it really has been, as Rosie Smith, our head of policy, likes to say, all regs all the time. I mean, we have just not had a lag in our rulemaking in the last 5 years. And it's a level of productivity that I don't think too many agencies could match. Congress gave us 6 months to get this bundling reg out, and as the chairman pointed out, it took us roughly 6 weeks to get the NPRM out. So we are way ahead of schedule. We're acting with alacrity because of the demands of the political schedule, and I think it does represent a lot of hard work, and I particularly appreciate that. I remember the Regs Committee meeting when I proposed the schedule that called for us to vote on this NPRM roughly now, and I appreciate the fact that nobody on the staff fainted. And the work got done, and it always does get done. But I want to talk about bundling, because I am very excited that we are doing this particular rulemaking. This is a subject that's been near and dear to my heart. I've been wanting to do a bundling rulemaking probably for the last 5 years. And until today, I never had four votes to get it out the door. But like the chairman, I'm confident there will be five votes for it today. And actually, we really haven't had much time to do another rulemaking in between all the other rulemakings that we've had. I think this is a victory for sunshine and transparency. Now, bundling, of course, is a time-honored tradition, and it encompasses everything from somebody who invites a few friends over for coffee at his house to meet a candidate, and the candidate's going to make his pitch and pass the hat, to people with extensive contacts putting together bundles in the six figures for major candidates. So there's a wide range of activity that is covered here, and there's nothing wrong with it. And nobody is proposing to ban it. I don't think it would be a good idea or probably a constitutional one if somebody were proposing to ban it. But there's no doubt that since BICRA, there's really been a premium on this kind of fundraising. It's been going on forever, but it's really become far more important to candidates since BICRA, because no longer after BICRA can an individual write a check for six figures and give it to the party committee. And when they could do that, that was disclosed by the party committees. Post-BICRA, people who are able to tap into networks and put together these kinds of bundles, sometimes, you know, 100,000, 200,000, you know, now probably there are people putting together $500,000 bundles, I'm not sure. Those kind of fundraisers obviously are becoming very, very important to candidates in an era where politics, every election year they say where it's a record-breaking year for campaign finance, there's more money raised this time than ever before, and I don't see any prospect that that's going to change. It just keeps getting more and more expensive. So these are significant figures, and I think it's appropriate that there be disclosure of the bundling. Now, to their credit, a number of the presidential campaigns have already, over the last this cycle and I think the preceding two cycles, have started to disclose the names of their bundlers voluntarily, and that's a good thing, and it is to their credit. But I believe this information is important enough that it ought to be available as a matter of law, not as a matter of grace, and it ought to be collected in one place, and it ought to be in a searchable database, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to put it all together in one place, in the most logical place for it to be, that is on our website, and people will be able to search it, and we're beginning that process today. Obviously, this is a response to the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act, and I have to say that this NPRM is not the NPRM that I originally envisioned when I first started thinking about doing a bundling rulemaking, and it does not address a couple of issues that I might have otherwise chosen to address were I queen and writing on a blank slate. We're not really doing much about our existing conduit regulations in this rulemaking at 110.6, and there's not a lot of disclosure under those rulemakings. There are a lot of exceptions. Now, one could read this new law as a comment on some of those exceptions, because they specifically wrote into the law that we could not have the kind of exception, the kind of waiver under this law that we currently have under our conduit regs that allows campaigns to designate someone an authorized fundraiser, and then there's no more disclosure of that of the earmarking or the conduit function. And Congress said, you don't do that in this case. Now, we could, I suppose, read that as a statement by Congress that that's not a very good exemption, and maybe we ought to take a look at that in a broader context and see whether we want to revisit that. But we haven't asked those questions here. And the other aspect that I would think would be quite illuminating would be to disclose not only the names of the bundlers, but the names of the donors who comprise the bundle, the people that they have raised the funds from. That kind of cross-referencing, I think, would be very valuable information. It would, in some cases, eliminate some redundancy, because where you have more than one person taking credit for the same contribution, it might look like there's more funds being bundled than there actually are in total. But I think also it would just, in and of itself, be a great transparency measure to require that kind of disclosure to match up the bundler with the bundlee, so to speak. Now, I thought long and hard about writing those questions into this draft, whether we should go there at this time, and I was, you know, sort of itching to do it. The tradition around here is that any commissioner can ask any question they want at the NPRM phase, and another commissioner is not going to say no, don't do that. But with the knowledge that kind of a broader based rulemaking probably would not get four votes at the end of the day, In respect of the compromise that Congress made in order to get a consensus to pass this law out, I know this provision was controversial on the Hill, and they did make compromises. And it seems appropriate that we should respect those compromises. And also being mindful of the advice we were given in another rulemaking recently, that we should adopt the posture of the humble regulator, that there have been so many changes in the last 5 years that the regulated community is having a hard time keeping up, and they're having a hard time complying with the law because it changes so frequently. And I think that's a valid concern. So because of all those things, I have not sought to turn this into the bundling regulation of my dreams. But I think, you know, there are some interesting questions that one still could ask. And there are some interesting questions that are asked in here. I'm particularly interested in the question of the registrants. Under the Lobbying Disclosure Act, there are registrants and there are lobbyists, and both the disclosure of bundling by both is required here. And the registrants are organizations, for the most part, that hire lobbyists, that employ lobbyists. And I think it's a really interesting question as to what degree the activities of individuals in those organizations should be imputed to those organizations, because obviously an organization only acts through its human agents. It's not clear what the answer to those questions are, because we don't have a lot of legislative history. I'm not sure what Congress had in mind, but I would be really interested in getting some good comments on it, and I would be particularly interested in getting some comments from the sponsors of the legislation and other members of Congress who voted for it as to what they had in mind when they put that provision into the law. So I think this is, at the end of the day, going to be a very good step for transparency and for sunshine, and I'm delighted to be here to vote on this. And, you know, if we did probable cause hearings last week, we're doing bundling this week. If I could get transparency of our penalty schedule, I could leave this agency a happy woman. But in any event, I am very pleased about this, and I would be honored at the appropriate time to be able to move the approval of this document.
Okay, very good. Other comments? Commissioner Walther.
I'd like to just make a comment about the first category, and that's the appreciation by the chairman for the work of the rest of the commissioners. And on that category, I really want to say that it was such a pleasant surprise to come to this commission and find a commission that could work together, despite very disparate views on a number of issues that most of you are aware of. But the fact is there's been a really healthy internal debate, productive debate, and compromise when possible, no hard feelings when it's not possible, but with the overall goal of trying to reach a conclusion on some very difficult questions that come to us. So it's been a great experience. But in talking about the achievements that have occurred, and it's so true that the Office of General Counsel has been a wonderful resource for this agency in all categories, and I'm truly one of its biggest fans. But as we look here today at some of the work that's been done this year, really a great deal of it has to do with the work of the chairman. And any organization needs someone who can run this operation efficiently and give a significant thought to the work that's being done and how people galvanize and to get them to come to constructive solutions under much pressure. And I really have to hand it to the chairman. He had a very thoughtful, far-reaching approach toward how to get work done, and that's being seen in spades and will be in the next short period of time of his tenure. But he deserves a great deal of credit for where we've come this year.
Thank you. And I want to, just on that, I mean, I have the advantage of wielding the gavel and having the title of chair. Once we leave this room, I am much more one among equals. But part of it also, I think, is, and credit should go to former Chairman Toner, who I think set a tone for a number of us when we arrived here, and to Vice Chairman Mason, who has also continued, I think, a practice of really having the operation of this commission really be a bipartisan process in the tenure that I've been here. And I think that the work of both of those gentlemen has been in immeasurable in whatever success we've been able to have this year. And I thank them both for that. I have a cautionary note about the substance of this regulation. Because I think what this part of the statute does, which is somewhat unique in our reporting regime, is that it requires reporting of the attribution of credit for raising of funds. It doesn't just regulate the classic bundling, where literally checks would be bundled up with a rubber band or string and handed as a collection of checks, but it regulates and requires disclosure of the attribution of credit for fundraising. in circumstances where the quote-unquote bundler has not actually delivered the checks personally. And the thing that's somewhat different, I think, as a consequence, is that in politics, sometimes credit goes irrespective of actual conduct. Sometimes people are given credit for things they didn't do. Sometimes people are not given credit for things they actually did do. And the inclusion of this data in our database, I think, as a consequence, separates it out from all of the other data that we are required to collect and disseminate, which involves very concrete transactions where you can actually have, our auditors can go and trace the passage of those dollars. And so I think as a result, as this data is collected and disseminated as required by the statute, people will draw conclusions that will be disputed in a way that you can't really dispute how much money a particular candidate raised or spent. People will claim that they raised more money than they were given credit for. People will deny they raised the amount of money they were given credit for. And I think that that is somewhat inescapable because of the nature of politics and the nature by which credit is often given or not for the success of various campaigns. And so we are proceeding and going to require political committees to file these reports. But the data that we disseminate as a result will be in some ways a little different than from the other kinds of data, a little less precise, a little less certain than the other kinds of data that we disseminate. And I think that that is the inherent in the nature of the way the statute is written. And we've tried, as we crafted this NPRM, to think through ways to minimize that. But it is a theme, I think, that we will return to over and over again as the years unfold and these reports get filed and people draw a range of conclusions from them that may or may not, at the end of the day, be fair. Other thoughts, comments, motions maybe? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of Agenda Document 07-71.
Very good. Commissioner Weintraub has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. And we have, I think, roughly 6 to 7 work weeks left, and she can try and move the penalty schedule in that time frame. We've got maybe have a small time slot open up later.